28, let's read responsively from the second to last paragraph. The righteous flourish like the date palm, thrive like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of Adonai. They flourish in our God's courtyards. Wow. We're desert people, you know, and the metaphors that always come up are the antithesis of the desert. They're how life happens even in these dry and hard-pressed places. And so who is the righteous person? Someone who is full of moisture, the life-giving essence of life itself. And that's that very image of the righteous being like a date palm or a cedar, something that continues to draw nourishment from the earth itself. And then the psalm ends with one of the most outlandish statements of all time. And in old age, they remain fruitful and they proclaim, God is upright, my rock in whom there is no flaw. It reminds me of a time of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah says that God presents God talking about the perfect love that God had with the Jewish people in the early days of their relationship. But if you read the Torah carefully, actually, there's so much blame going back and forth. It's not the young days. It is a long relationship that requires renewal. And we are about, in a moment, when we say Baruch Hu, we're going to be saying goodbye to Tu B'Av, the 15th day of the month of Av. And that day is about that very message. It's about mature love and renewal. It's the Jewish Valentine's Day. Long before Juliana, the Greek god, goddess who is the source of Valentine's Day. So I want to talk about this day of love because it comes, you may know, just a week after Tisha B'Av, the ninth of the month of Av. And the ninth of the month of Av is considered the saddest day in Jewish history, a day where our love and relationship are at their perilous lowest. It's this day on which both the first and the second temples are destroyed. It's a day, and the rabbis count a whole host of days, and our enemies throughout the ages added and chose this day to cause additional pain. And if you've been following the news from Israel, things are heating up, and I certainly was there, because there's an understanding, if you hurt someone on their anniversary, it hurts a little bit more. And so the rabbis are amazed that immediately after the ninth of Av comes Tu B'Av, and the Mishnah, our oldest layer of text after the Torah, says that it is the most joyful day in the year. There's two joyous days. Anyone know what they are?
Yom Kippur.
Huh? Yom Kippur, right. I know some people are like, that's a joyous day. Yom Kippur is a wonderfully joyous day because we get our slate wiped clean. However much mutz we've all been living with during the year, wipe that clean, start again. That's pretty awesome. Well, Tu B'Av is like that historical, it is the day of love. And there are remarkable customs associated with it. One is that on that day and on Yom Kippur also, women who, unwed women, would borrow a white dress from a friend or neighbor. And the notion of it was so that everyone would have the same wardrobe and nobody would be able to look more beautiful because of their financial circumstances. I don't know if any of us actually would want to go that way, but it's a very interesting notion of what does it mean not just to have love for an individual, but for a community so that you care for everyone. And I think that's a beautiful feature of Tu B'Av. There are ways as well in which Tu B'Av is connected with the permission to bury the dead, which follows from Tisha B'Av. And people were dying constantly, and the nation was in mourning. And it got so bad, and this is a horrendous image, that the people were instructed to dig their own graves and to lie in the grave. And if you were still there in the morning, you knew you were alive, because a lot of people didn't make it. And on Tu B'Av, on this day, that's when they noticed a full week had gone by and no one had died and all that destruction had ended. So there are ways of the personal, there are ways of the nation, there are ways in which this was the great holiday of inclusion, because normally you had to get married within your tribe. If you were a Benjamite, you could only marry someone from the tribe of Benjamin. On this holiday, you could marry anyone from any tribe. And it was also marked the end of those tribal affiliations. So it marks that what we are so concerned with in our society, inclusion in this holiday as well. This has been a hard week for Israel. And it's been a hard week for me coming back, because I've had a lot of conversations with people. And so many people are terribly upset with Israel and who she is and the actions she takes. And I'm not going to defend Israel or pretend that she is a blameless nation any more than I'll say that about our country. But I went back and my love was just so deeply rekindled, and all that was wonderful and all that was beautiful is still very palpable for me. And I come back to an American Jewish community that's upset and hurt. And I think about the end of the psalm that we just said, where it tries to paint over the relationship. We're in a difficult point, but on Tu B'Av, I guess I want to leave you just with this message. We've got to find our way back in love to the other half of our people, to our ancient ancestral land, to a country that has to make different choices than ours does. But like every country and every relationship and every person with themselves, we have to rise up from that valley of tears and find our way back to love and affirmation, even as we try to make those we love a little bit better, and ourselves as well. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Happy Valentine's Day.